Blog Talk Radio.
Amen.
Amen. Amen.
New beginnings is not just for the young. Isn't it beautiful? We can look to the skies and know that there's hope for us. We'd like to thank you for once again tuning in to Blog Talk Radio. We are New Beginnings Ministry, and we thank you for tuning in. We are an interactive Bible study. What is that? That means that you have an opportunity to be able to call in to participate. The call-in number is 347-237-4054. That's 347-237-4054. And once you call in, you can be a part of the discussion once the speaker opens up the mic. Amen, amen, amen. We'd like to also inform you that while you are on line listening, please make sure that you mute any type of audio that you may be using, because we can hear everything in the background. These microphones are extremely sensitive. We can hear everything. Even if you're cooking something in the background, we can hear everything. So mute your mic. We do open up all the mics at all times so that when the speaker opens up discussion for you, all you have to do is speak rather than hit the number one. Okay? We do appreciate your cooperation on that. As we move forward, there are those that are that we have on our prayer list, and we like to make sure that we ask you that you would pray for those. There is Paul, Pastor Robinson from out of Tennessee. There is Pastor Miles from out of New Jersey. We are praying continually for Tina, Katrina, Bill from out of Cleveland, Corey from Charleston, Amber from Amber Ben Haley, South Carolina. Bradley family from Texas, Sean, West Virginia, Norman from out of Cleveland. And we also would like to lift up the Palmer family as well. Amen. We're not going to belabor this. We ask that if you could, just to make sure that you keep them in your prayers. Amen, amen, amen. We remember that when prayers go up, blessings come down. Corporatively, when we pray for one another, I believe that there is power. Power, power, power. Prayer is a powerful tool that we have, and we need to exercise it the way God has ordained us to do that. Right now, we're going to move over. We have a guest speaker this evening who is back with us, Bishop Charles Storrs from out of West Virginia, and we are so thankful that he has taken the time to come online with us to share with what God has placed on his heart. I am not going to belabor the time because we want to make sure that we can hear everything that he wants to pour into us at this time. And right now we're going to move over into Princeton, West Virginia, my hometown state. Amen, amen, amen. Pastor
Hello.
Jones, are you there?
I am. Can you hear me?
Yes, we can. Very
Amen.
Clear.
Can you? Okay. Amen. We thank God for the opportunity. I thank you again for allowing me to be here. And right from Princeton, West Virginia, here at Shiloh, place of worship, where I'm honored and humbled to pastor a group of lovely, God-fearing people whom I love dearly. Really just had something on my heart that I kind of would share that we had talked about at our church here at the beginning of 2020, and I'll open it up for discussion shortly after. It just won't be that long, but if we could we just open with a word of prayer, just briefly, word of prayer. Father, we thank you right now in the name of Jesus for your grace, your mercy, your hand of protection, just your provision. We ask right now as we're gathered together, touching and agreeing, here you are blessing us. Give us what we need to not only be a hearer, but be transformed to a doer of your word. We thank you now. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Amen.
We've been talking about priorities. And I believe that 2020, it's not ironic that we're in the first month of the beginning of not just a new year, but beginning of a new decade. And we have priorities that we need to set as the body of Christ. I'm not saying that we don't, but things that we were looking at. And I think that the greatest tragedy along in life, the greatest tragedy is death. But I also believe that life without purpose, life with wrong priorities set, is also tragic, because oftentimes we're really busy, but we're not effective. I mean, Peter was busy fishing. He fished all night, but he wasn't effective until he had a conversation with Jesus. And so it's been said that our life is a sum total of the decisions that we make every day. And those decisions are determined by our priorities. How we use our time actually or eventually defines our life. And so if we could look at it, we become whatever we buy with our time. And so when we set correct priorities, it protects our time, it protects our discipline, and it keeps us committed to purpose. And I think that lots of times we are on task, but we spend our energy correcting someone else's lack of prioritizing, that we're constantly busy, but we're not effective actually moving into the things of God that God wants us to have. And so we have been sharing on that. And one of the areas that kind of touched me was the idea of visitation versus habitation, or from visitation to habitation. And I liken that just to, well, I would go into the scripture topic that I would come from would be 2 Kings 4:8-9, just two verses. But I would think about the first miracle that was performed, that Christ performed, was at the wedding. And he performed this miracle, the first open at a wedding. It's ironic that he wanted that to be a situation where we'd be married to him, so to speak. And so to understand that we have the fullness of the experience of Christ, it has to be proximity centric. So he's God, the creator of all things, and he has to be first above all rule, all authority. He alone is worthy of the number one position in our lives. And so when I look at that, the conversations that he has with his mother and his disciples, and the turning the water into wine, I liken it to how we have our weddings today. Lots of times we are concerned and we view someone getting married and we're concerned and we can't wait for the "you may kiss the bride" and "I now pronounce you man and wife, you may kiss the bride." But before there's a kiss, there's a conversation, there's vows that have to be handled. And I think many times we are visiting Christ because we're having a kiss without the conversation. And then when the kiss gets old, there's nothing really to talk about and we fall away. And so I believe that God wants us to actually have moved from this idea of just visiting him on Sunday, but actually having a habitation with him in our life, that wherever that we are, he is also, and that he moves in our homes and in our relationships and our every situation, every circumstance that we have. Even when we do have problems or issues, we can be of comfort that Christ is there. And it gave me something in 2 Kings, the 4th chapter, starting at verse 8, and it said, "It fell on a day that Elisha passed the Shunem, where there was a great woman, and she constrained him to eat bread. And it was that as often as he passed by and turned in thither to eat bread. And she said unto her husband, Behold, I perceive that this is a holy man of God, which passes by us continually. Let us make a little chamber, I pray thee, on the wall, and let us set for him there a bed, a table, a stool, and a candlestick. And it shall be that when he cometh to us, he shall turn in thither." And so to understand the process of moving from visitation, she noticed that he came continually. So she didn't just want a visitation. She was a well-to-do woman, so to speak. And so she moves from this idea of perception plus reception equals restoration. So the Bible says she perceived, and he passed by continually. And I think in this last decade or this last year, God is continually, he's moving, progressive. He's continually moved. And I don't want him to pass me by in 2020 without me actually perceiving what God is doing in this time when our government is in shambles, when our society is in its disarray that it is. I want to actually make sure that I have a mind of Christ, that I can actually be at peace even when things around me are falling apart. And so she perceived that she was, which is the ability to hear or see or become aware through the senses, that this is a man of God. Elisha represents the move of God. God is moving. And so she wanted not only just to have a visitation, but she wanted to have a habitation. So she gave her time and her resources. She comes in and she gives her time and her resources, and she has a reception. She receives him. She creates this room on the wall so she can, spiritually speaking, that she can see and sense things from above, that when life gets us down at times, and they will, that we can always look to the hills, as the Bible says, from which cometh our help. Our help cometh from the Lord. So we can always see things above. He is keeping perfect peace whose mind is stayed on him. So she creates this upper room on the wall to watch out, to look for, to make sure things is there. And so she had moved from perceiving that he was, that she receives him. But when she receives him, she builds this on her. She gives her time. She gives her resources. She builds several things. She gives him several things, several little issues or little tools in the home. She gives him a bed, she gives him a table, she gives him a stool, she gives him a candlestick, and all are important. I just really wanted to focus on one of those areas. Actually, the bed, a place of rest. There had to be a place of rest where he could rest. We need to have God to be able to rest. Hebrews tells us that as we enter into this rest, there's a place of rest that we can have. The table, a place of edification or communion, where we can commune with him, because we want, again, not just a visitation, but a habitation. But she gives him a stool. And the King James says it's a stool, and it comes from the Hebrew kite, and it actually means a properly covered throne. And so Webster defines throne as a seat of deity, a royal power of authority. So this chair is a device that holds and supports a position of authority. So not only did she give him a bed, a table, and a stool, but she actually gave him a place of authority. And so the question that God has for me, and this is what I'll pose to you, is who is sitting on your throne? Is it self, is it sin, or is it Christ? Because whoever is sitting in your chair or on your throne, that's the one that you will serve. And I think that we have to move, be moving from visitation. I have to give up my chair and my throne, my mindset, myself. Things about us, we're living in a world right now where it's all about what we can get out of whatever it is that's going on. How can I benefit? It's about self. Lots of times people are so clueless of the movement of God that it's actually sin. And oftentimes Christ doesn't have the full seat. We sometimes like to share it, the seat with him, if I could use that. But we need to give him the seat, because there was a situation, comes restoration, that when the son that was promised to her had dealt with the fever or sickness through the heat of the day, this society that's going on, all of the stuff that's happening, she was able to say all is well. She passed by, when she went by, she passed by everybody. Anything okay? All is well. Because she understood that I gave him my seat. He is the head of my life. He is the center of everything. So whatever is going to happen, God's going to restore. So the reception brought about a restoration. And I think lots of times with us, we are loving to go to church, wanting to have a visitation when we need an issue fixed or circumstance change. But we need to move from the visitation to a habitation that he dwells with us, that wherever I am, if I'm, whatever situation I'm in, I know that God has guided me. The steps of a good man are ordered by the Lord. And I believe that in 2020, this beginning year, the church, the body of Christ, the people, we need to move from just having a temporary dwelling, but let him habitate, have a habitat with us. And that's what we're striving to do now, and that's creating that priority. Seek ye first the kingdom of heaven and the kingdom of God and all his righteousness, and he adds these things to us. And so she had everything, but she did not have Christ or Elisha, the move of God. She just didn't want a visitation. She saw him continually, but she wanted to have a habitation. And oftentimes I ask the question to myself and to many of us, and we'll open it up for discussion even now, how is it that it's that we get comfortable? Why is it that we're comfortable with the visitation, but we don't really work towards that habitation? And what can we do to make sure that we're giving up everything to let Christ have that chair in our lives? Any comments?
All mics are open. All mics are open.
You know what it makes me think of? It makes me think of how people
Lord.
Will say that somebody.
Can you hear me?
You know.
Yes, go ahead. We can hear you. For some reason, we're not connecting the mic. Go ahead.
Can you hear me?
Yes, we can, speaker.
Oh, gosh. Praise the Lord. I'm calling from Cleveland, Ohio. This is my first time coming on the air, and I am really enjoying it. I just want to say, when I heard the speaker, when he said about the habitation in it, it put me in the mind of the scripture when he said he inhabits the praises of his people. And when the woman went to Elijah, there was a habitation already set up in her spirit when she questioned the man of God already. So she was already, to me, and this is what it sounds like, what I'm hearing, that she had already set a habitation up to receive the man of God. So, and he's just blessing me as I'm just listening, to the man of God expound on the habitation. And I think so much us in the body of Christ, we don't set a habitation in place just for the Father to be able to dwell with us in all things. So that's what I'm hearing. That's what I'm getting out of it, because he inhabits our every being, our every day. But it's what we offer up to him so that he can be able to have a place with him. So I just wanted to just share that. God bless you, man of God.
Bless you. Amen. That was good. That's so good.
Any others? The mics are open. Any other comments?
Well, one of the things I think, as if I can, again, is that there's just lots of things that's clamoring for our attention, and we are focused on a lot of things. And I want to make sure, at least here, beginning of here at Shiloh, that we're making Christ a priority, because the enemy will try to inundate us with all kinds of issues. But just like the caller said, we need to be prepared for creating a place that because he inhabits the praise of his people. So the enemy wants to steal that from us, kill, steal, because when he steals that, there's no fullness of joy. There's no strength. There's no this. And so we become to be fretful. And I see people lots of times, I'm not making it political in any kind of way, but we've said it plenty of times here, Shiloh, we're concerned about, too often we're so concerned about government and who's in the White House, more so than being concerned about is God in our house. And when he can have God in our house, it doesn't matter what's going on really around. He will keep in perfect peace whose mind is stayed. And then he will give us wisdom and understanding that we can maneuver through this maze of chaos and confusion that we're dealing with. And so that I think that we're prime time right now for a great revival, a great move of God in the body of Christ. And that he's preparing us to seek the kingdom and to look towards him and to move from just that visitation that we've had to actually habitating with us, that things can change, homes can change, communities can change. Just with, as you said earlier, with prayer and supplication and just being in his presence.
Amen. Amen.
Can I speak again? This is good. Okay, if I speak again.
Yes, go ahead. I'm listening. Can you hear me?
Oh, amen. With the minute I said, it doesn't matter, because we have so much chaos and everything going on, even what's going on in the White House, but us in the body of Christ, if we stay in the posture of being in that habitation, of being in that place before the Father and making it just the body of Christ in general with prayer and supplication, and if we stay in that seat, and you talked about if we stay in that seat in our metron, in our measure, right there, and go forth in prayer, our seat, our kingdom authority that God has given us, will make a great impact with what's going on in our nation. And that's why it is so vital for us in the body of Christ to know where our seat is at, our seat of authority before the Father, and just stand in his presence. And so we will make, as I said before, we will make a great impact or just praying, coming against those principalities, coming against those things that is trying to dominate the kingdom of God of what God wants to do in the earth. So it is so vital that we know our seat of authority before the Father. God bless you, man of God.
Bless you. Amen. If I could just briefly, just listening and reading that particular topic that he placed upon me, for me personally, as far as priority goes, trying to make sure it protects our discipline. It keeps me disciplined because I see I don't know if I can use the word burnout or the wearing out of the pastors and prophets and those individuals that's carrying the mantle in this hour, at this time, because of all of the clamoring of our time and our attention, that it wears people out. And so you become to be, like I said, busy but not effective. And lots of times we're busy doing church but not effective in the kingdom. So I want to make sure that helps me, because, I don't want to be the one that's just wore out doing what I love to do, which is expounding and hearing God and striving to walk in that. And so I think that's one of the reasons why he blessed me, if I could say, with a group of wonderful people that keeps me lifted up and encouraged here at Shiloh, the people that I pastor. But just personally, we deal with a lot of issues in ourselves. And not only are we Christians or preachers or pastors, but we're fathers and mothers and sons and sisters that we have to take off and become what we, you know, variety of things and multitask, so to speak. And the enemy can see us doing that. And whenever he can see us weaken in any area, he'll begin to pounce on that, so to speak. And so I think that the right priorities and putting him in the seat of my authority protects the discipline that keeps me grounded, so I can strive to do what God has for me to do, to run on and see what the end shall be.
Amen. The mics are open. The mics are open.
I want to share the Living Bible version of your verses with 2 Kings chapter 4, verses 8 and 9. The Living Bible says, one day Elijah went to Shunem. A prominent woman of the city invited him to eat, and afterwards, whenever he passed that way, he stopped for dinner. She said to her husband, "I'm sure this man who stops in from time to time is a holy prophet. Let's make a little room for him on the roof, and we can put in a bed, a table, a chair, and a lamp, and he will have a place to stay whenever he comes by." That was all the way to verse 10. I think about the line, make a little room for him, goes along with what you were saying about prioritizing and making room for Christ in our lives. Sometimes even those that are in the body of Christ, we busy ourselves with the things that may seem good for the church, but Christ isn't in it. It may be busy work, and that just because we say that they're into the church or they're in church doesn't mean that they're serving, doesn't mean that they're in God's will or they're serving Christ or that Christ lives in them. So we have to be very mindful in as we disciple people and we mentor folks to make sure that we teach them the importance of making room for Christ in your heart. In your daily times of solitude and prayer and meditation, making room for the things of God, praying about the things that you're busy with. Are those the things that the Lord would have you do? I like the way that you identified the bed being the resting place, the table, the place of communion, the stool being the throne, but also the roof, because it's the highest place. And so putting Christ where we put the holy man and our Savior Christ at the highest place in our lives, in our hearts, in our homes, that's given him the place of honor. And to put the stool there, I never thought about the stool being a throne. I never thought about that. And you're right. You're so right. And that makes so much sense when we look at the symbolism of these things. And even the lamp, because he's a lamp to our feet, that he gives us light and guides us. Praise God. Praise God. Thank you.
Yes, amen.
Thank you.
Amen. Praise God. Amen.
The mics are still open. All you have to do is just talk. Well, Bishop, I want to make a comment as Sister No One is speaking in terms of the habitation. When I look at in terms of habitation as being open and receptive to allow God to work through you, when I see habitation, think of habitation. You know, it's a home. It's a place that you feel safe, a place of refuge. And being that they opened their house, it was a place of safety, but they still opened their house and invited the man of God in. So being able to invite someone in for that and have a place for God, that's the same. I look at that as it's like our temple, the body of Christ, being able to allow God to come in to this temple and to be able to utilize it. Because Elijah there, he was more compassionate. He was more concerned about the needs of the people. And I think that when we get into the situation where we begin to look at the needs of the people and being out there to be a servant, I think that's where we're supposed to be. Because even with this woman, she wanted to be a servant, and because of her attitude of being a servant, she was blessed. She was blessed because
right.
when you read on into it, there was a child. She never thought she would have a child, but she was blessed because of her attitude of wanting to serve others that were in need. Every time that he came to town, they wanted to make sure that he had a place. So do we look at others who are in need and try to make sure that we are serving their needs, or do we just walk past, you know, those who are in need and just forget about them?
I think it says something else too, is that he knew that Elijah knew that this was a place that he was welcome, and that they would they were very hospitable and took good care of them. But she knew that they were blessed to be a blessing. That they were blessed
right.
to be a blessing. That they could afford to do the things that whatever they had that they were willing to share.
Mm-hmm.
So, and that's something that we have to understand, that when the Lord blesses you, it's not just for you, it's for others, to bless others. So not only blessing the poor, as my husband was saying, but also those that are in ministry that are serving
Amen.
The poor.
Amen.
And those that are ministering
right.
that are blessing you, that you have that you're blessed to be a blessing, and we're responsible for blessing them and for caring for them and giving of what the Lord has given us, because we don't own it anyway.
Amen.
Right. Amen.
When you talk about two of them just got jobs. They were blessed to have an opportunity to have a job. The Lord opened up the door for them to get the job, and having them to understand that, and that's why we tithe, and that's all God is asking for, is 10%. So we tithe, and we also give offerings because we are blessed to be a blessing.
Amen. I'm glad you said that. I didn't really go right into that, but exactly right. And the very first thing that she did, the Bible says she was prominent, but that she saw and perceived, and she created room. She tapped into her resources. We're too many times coming to Christ, seeing what we can get, but we're not giving what we need, whether it's our talent,
right.
our time, our definitely our finances. That sometimes, I mean, you know,
mm-hmm.
I tease people all the time. I just a joke. I don't mean it seriously, but I tease people. I have to just share. You know, I tell them all the time. I believe that, you know, George Washington is pretty much saved. He comes to church every Sunday, but we like to get the other 10 presidents in the house of God. I mean, it takes those type of resources. It takes that effort. And then here's the thing, even more importantly than that, not just speaking just of that, but when she started giving and she gave all of herself, the prophet asked his servant, what doesn't she have? What can I do for her? And God says he'll supply our needs according to his riches in heaven. So like you said, it's his anyway. So we give back so he can now turn around and bless us abundantly to give us what we didn't have anyway. And so, that's what I'm striving to do too, also.
Amen, amen, amen. I want to piggyback off of that, but also I was thinking the woman, she had the confidence of knowing that God was going to be a blessing for her. And I'm looking at situations that we may go through in life, and knowing that whatever the circumstance or the situation is, knowing who God is, and that's at confidence and that faith of knowing that God is going to take care of the situation. And when I look at this, she, she had the confidence to know that he was a holy man, to know that he was a holy man,
right.
And believing that inviting someone who was a man of God into the house of the household was going to be blessed. So I also look at that part also into their habitation, to where they live. They believed enough that if they prepared a place for him, they were reaching out to help him. Every time that he came to town, they recognized that. They always made sure that they looked, well, what can I do to help him? Even though that he was a holy man, what can I do to help him? And looking out at society and being able to look at those that are in need, what can we do to help each other? What can we do?
Right, right, right. That's right.
How much
do I
have to give? It don't have to be a lot. You don't have to be the richest, you know, person in Babylon. You don't have to be that.
Right.
But what can you do? It might be your time. It might be your talent. But what can you offer?
Right.
And the blessing
right.
comes with what we put out. When what we put out, the blessing comes back. And this is just, you know, a beautiful example of, you know, they weren't looking for anything. But because of their attitude to bless the man of God or to reach out and find out what could they do, what was a need that they could do to help out, that they were blessed behind that. And I believe that that's just a principle of life as the body of Christ, being able to help out one another.
Right, right, exactly. Yeah, and that's good. And then I also look at when she did that, even though the son was the promise that God gave them or Elijah gave them, but the enemy still attempted to attack it, tried to attack. But when that happened, she immediately mounted up and went bypassed everybody. I mean, she didn't post it on Facebook or Instagram or Snapchat. Mm. The problem, she went right to Christ. And we went
right
there. Many times we want to tell everybody our problems, and then we get a bunch of comments, which is probably not God-like anyway, and instead of just going right to the source and say, here you go. And then what we do is we can comment and let somebody know, look what the Lord has done for me, raise it up. And so because he represented a future, lots of times the enemy wants to attack our future. God promises us a future. He still attacks it. But as long as he's in that seat or that throne, that place of authority, I can say all is well when I pass by everybody else who says, what's going on?
Amen.
All is well, because I know that
well.
I have God with me. You know?
Amen.
So yes, amen.
Amen. Amen. Amen. Amen. I know we're getting into a discussion, and I don't want to tie that up here. You know, there are so many people on the line. You know, again, the mics are open if you want to make a comment with the discussion. The mics are open. Amen. Bishop, we're leaving it in your hands as we move forward.
Okay, well, you know, I thank you for that opportunity. I thought about that, and as we were discussing, if I could just continue on just briefly with the priority and, you know, putting God the principal thing and keeping that in his mindset. I'm striving, as I ask for your prayers, everyone that's here to pray that we continue to do this. I think that the body of Christ, we have gotten, I don't say all of us, but what I've experienced, what I've seen, we've gotten comfortable with the visitation. We want a good Sunday service or Sunday morning or whatever it might be. But God wants to have us, he wants to have church with us when we drive to work on Monday or when we're dealing with something on Tuesday or when we're holding our future in our hands and it doesn't look good, but we're carrying it to Christ. We're laying it at Christ, because the house or the room was built on the wall, the place where you was to observe and see things from a distance. And her mind, she built it in the upper room, although she maybe not saw Elijah when he was there. But I can imagine, just if I was thinking, if I had someone living in upper room at my house, if I heard movements, I would say, I wonder if they're up now. And lots of times God wants us to wake up and have our mind on him regardless of what's going on today or what's happening here. And so she was able to have a spiritual perception. And lots of times we get really religious, but we're not really that spiritual, because to be honest with you, Christ really didn't come to establish a religion, but he came to establish a kingdom. And so religion is man's attempt to try to rectify something that he destroyed in the kingdom. The Bible says, seek ye first the kingdom of heaven and all his righteousness. Jesus said, repent, which lets us know the condition of man needed to repent, for the kingdom of heaven is near. And so he never really wanted to have this religious mindset. And so we get so caught up in what this group or whatever we're associated or affiliated with says that we dissect scripture according to what religion says, but the mind of Christ will let us, gives us the spirit of discernment, the wisdom, the mind of Christ, let this mind be in you, will allow us, as the woman was able to perceive. He passed by Shunem. The Bible says, and he went by Shunem. She couldn't have been the only person that was there that saw her, but she was the only one that was perceiving, because she was still seeking the kingdom of heaven. She was prioritizing. She watched him and said, something about the way he moves, the way he walks, the way he does this. And lots of times it's hard for people in the world to see if we're really Christians, because after service, because we've had just a visitation, we go back to looking just like everybody else. And, you know, I just want to make sure that, yeah, and it turns them off. And so I want to make sure that we are striving, at least I'm striving, to see that, to do that.
Amen.
I'm sure that somebody else maybe wants to have a comment or say something.
We have a lot of numbers on here, but no one's, everyone's kind of quiet, just listening and taking in.
Just could ask someone to just go ahead. I'm sorry.
No, go ahead, Bishop. I was just going to.
Ask someone to elaborate. But yeah, go ahead. I'm listening. I apologize again. Go ahead.
I'm listening to what you're saying and what you're sharing with us, and it's a good word. And it really is a good word in terms of, and especially like, you know, your comment in terms of a habitation, you know, to visitation, you know, and to me, that's all, it's all about having that relationship with Christ, when I look at it in terms of that spiritual, you know, relationship, being able to go to Christ, but knowing the, who he is. Just having that relationship of knowing who he is. I look at Christ in terms of being, you know, almost like our best friend, our best friend. And what would we do for our best friend? We would go out our way. So if we would do that for our best friend, then we should go out our way, you know, for others as well. Treat others like we are the body of Christ. I look at it in terms of there are different gifts. You know, you have the arm that may, you know, have a gift in one section, or the leg is a purpose for another. Each part of the body has a gift and has a purpose. And when that body comes together and everything works, you know, according to the will of God, then we are operating as God wants us to operate, but not one over here and one over there, but operating together as a body of Christ. And I believe that when people look out and they don't see that the body working together, then that's where the concerns come. That's because if we can't work together as the body of Christ, then how can they fit in? You know, those who are looking on the outside that want to come in, you know, to be a part of the body of Christ, you know, who want to give their life over to Christ. But they're not sure if they do that, are they going to be accepted? Are they going to be accepted? Can they bring their gifts in and be a part of the body? Everybody has something to give. Everybody has something to give. There's a gift. We all have a gift that God has given us, and we need to understand, you know, the gifts that God has given us and be able to use it according to our purpose. And that comes with that relationship. God speaks to us through his word. That's why it says a lamp to our feet and a light into our path. It directs us. the direction that we're supposed to go. We all have a purpose in this kingdom. And when we're looking at what's happening now, more than anything else, for those who are studying the Word of God, we can see the writing on the wall. We can see the writing on the wall. And if there's a time that we need, the church needs, the body of Christ need to begin to start to work together is now.
Definitely, amen.
Bishop, how are things in your neck of the woods in terms of the body of Christ there and the operation of those who are serving?
Things are well from if they are from my perspective here right in Princeton. We are just each person, as you said, each one has a different gift to bring, and each pastor, the location, we're here, we're in close proximity to one another, but we're all doing our gifts, my talents, the way that God has. That's for me, I'm focused on just trying to hear from him and be a better person myself, along with promoting our people to, as you say, to love, not just look the part when we're really falling apart, but while we're falling apart, we know that we can still be together. Because God is moving, and I'm blessed to have that group of people here. And so from that perspective, I think that things are going well. Now, that doesn't mean that, just like we said just this past Sunday, that the enemy doesn't want to steal anything that is not worth stealing or try to destroy anything that's not worth destroying. So the very minute that we speak, things are good, that's when he begins to attack and do this. And so that's when we have to stay prayed up, and so I strive that our people stay prayed up and keeping him, as you say, and as we say, first in our lives, the principal thing, the primary focus, put it in order of importance, and then he'll direct what our gifts is, what we can do, the talents, when to go a certain place, what not to say, what not to do. I think that before I saw people here in this area, when I first started pastoring, they were busy just being busy. If that makes any sense, they were busy doing church things and things of God, but their primary focus was everybody began to want to mimic someone else. And I believe that why would we have a variety of churches in one area if we all were going to look the same? God could have just left one and we would have been this way. So he wanted to touch different people. And I believe that, where one can sing and touch someone, a scripture might touch someone. So we operate according to, as you said, the gifts that God gives us. And so that's what we're trying to do here. We just want to reach out and we're growing. We're striving to grow, and we're growing. And for every day that we grow, the enemy wants to come with something else. But God gives us all the more grace and mercy, and we continue to strive on. So it's well. And I see that it's happening in bigger areas just like it is here. The enemy It's the same God here as he is somewhere else, but it's the same devil. He's just, I don't say different levels, it's the same devil, but he wants to attack us in different ways. So if we're together, it's hard to deal with the move of God, because the Bible says that a weapon will form, but it won't prosper. The gates of hell will come, but it won't prevail. And so that's all being connected with this unity and this love. And so that's what we're striving. And I see things are moving well that way.
Amen. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord.
Amen.
We are definitely. I don't know if any comments. Anyone want to comment at this time? Anyone want to ask a question?
I just think that what we should be saying, like you said, during this time of turmoil and got chaos in the White House and things all around us, especially as minorities in the United States, that the body of Christ should be saying, it is well, it is well.
Amen.
and communing with the Lord and spending time in prayer and devotion and praise and worship, but also in ministering to those that don't know Christ. That's our call too, and we have to remember that you can't just walk by them. And sometimes those that are active in church will just socialize and just be with, only want to be bothered with the folks that are you know, in so-called in church. But we were called to be disciples to the world. We were called to bring to take the gospel outside of the church and to share it with everyone. So it's important that we do that, and in doing so, that we have an attitude of it's well, regardless of what's going on. We know that Jesus mm-hmm. Christ is our Savior, our Lord, our King. So it's not about Donald Trump. It's not about the UN. It's not about whatever they're doing in England. It's about Jesus Christ. Period.
Amen.
Period. There's nothing that He can't handle. Nothing that He can't handle.
Mm-hmm.
Right.
Amen. Amen. Any other comments? Bishop, we'd like to thank you so much for coming on and sharing with us at this time. We're going to be corporately, you know, praying on behalf of, you know, your church and your ministry and what God is, where God is taking you. Right now, as you made a comment, it's not just there, it's everywhere. It's everywhere. It's the same thing. We're having the same thing here in Cleveland. My concern right now with foreclosing is the youth, the younger generation. That's my concern
right
there.
Right.
Getting them on board. And, you know, my belief, and I know it's a little away from what you're saying, is that generational gap, closing that gap, you know, so that they can become a part of the church, because that generation is going to be stepping in for those who are moving out. So I think that's critical at this time, that the focus is on, you know, the generations, the millennials, the Generation Zs, and so on and so forth, making sure that they have a relationship. I remember when I was living in West Virginia, I had no choice but to go to church, and I believe that's what helped to prepare me as the man I am today. And trust me, I didn't want to go all the time. I didn't want to go all the time, but I was there, and I believe that once people are under the Word of God, you know, it's like a two-edged sword. It begins to start, you know, to just dissect, and it begins to start to break down. And the more that the word, you hear the word, the more we become whole, you know, the more we become full of Christ, the Word of God, the Word of Christ. And whatever situations that we go through, we can say that it is well. Why? Because the Word resides in us. It has become a part of us. I believe what we entertain the most is who we become.
Amen. Amen. I just real quickly, if I could, just elaborate a little bit on what you said. It's so true with the generation. That's what I strive, or my mind is focused on, because I do have two teenage children also. And I look at, even in that scripture, the Bible said that there came a day that the boy fell sick, and he put him to the hand of the father, which represents, spiritually speaking, the pastor, and then the pastor, the father, gives it to the mother, which represents the teacher, and she holds him in the hand. Lots of times we are wanting the children to come into the world already with the knowledge of how to operate with Christ, but we have to hold them in their sick condition and accept them for who they are and let the Word transform them. I think religion kills the desire of that generational gap, because we put this facade on us, we've got it all together, and they feel like that's a bar or standard that they cannot accomplish because they're sick with their understandings. But we have to hold them in their hand, accept them who they are, and let the word transform them to move the world out. But lots of times we're moving the world in to captivate them, and then they can't distinguish what's holy and what's not. And so we have to make sure that we're striving to do that. Yeah. That's what I pray, that you continue to keep me in prayer for that reason.
Amen. Amen. We will do that. We will definitely do that. And we just pray that you would continue to keep us in prayer as well, as and all those, you know, that come on as speakers and leaders within the communities. So again, we all have to commune together, come together, and you know, and be as one, as a body. It does, and that's what this blog is all about. It doesn't make a difference what city or state that you live in. We serve. There's only one God, one true and living God, and we're all serving. It doesn't make a difference where you are, and that's where this connection is. Understanding whatever state you're in is the same God, the same loving God. So we do thank each and every one of you for coming on and being a part of this blog radio. But that's what it's about, coming together as a body of Christ and just sharing the word of God. So we do thank you again for coming on and being a part this evening. And we look forward to hearing you again. We always enjoy when you bring a word to us and open our minds to be able to visualize and gain a better understanding of not only what's there, but also what we're going through as a whole, as a body of Christ. So we do thank you so much. If you'd like to close out in prayer, and then we're going to the next thing that you're going to hear is the soundbite.
Amen, amen. Well, we give. Do you want me to close it in prayer? Is that what you said?
Yes. Yes, sir.
Okay, yes, amen. Well, we thank the Lord and praise God for the opportunity. All glory be to him. We thank you again for inviting me. Father, we thank you now in the name of Jesus for your grace, your mercy, your hand of protection and provision. We thank you as we're gathered together right now that you are in the midst of us, that you're touching us, that you transform us,
yes,
that you renew us. In every area that's
yes,
vital to you, know exactly all about us. You know our thoughts are far off. You know exactly what we need. We ask that each individual that's on this line, those that are here, those that are connected to them, bless accordingly, Father, according to your riches and glory. We thank you for all that you've done, everything that you're doing. We praise you for this blog radio. We ask right now that you bless the pastor, the entire household faith, every speaker that comes on. Continue to just bless us as your people. We thank you now for touching even our enemies. Thank you for our enemies, because they keep us on our knees, striving to look towards you for all that we need. We give you praise, honor, and glory. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
In Jesus' name, amen.
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 Thank you.
Amen. Thank you.
I face the dawn.